During her days in an Iranian prison, Hala Esfandiari got a chance to step outside onto a terrace.
I saw a white butterfly, and I thought to myself, okay, I'm stuck here. What are you doing here?
Esfandiari spent more than 3 months in prison. In all, she was detained for 8 months inside Iran. She says her trip started as a visit to her mother in Tehran and ended with her accused of plotting a revolution. Esfandiari spoke about all this yesterday at her office inside the institution that got her in trouble. She runs the Middle East program at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars in Washington, to which she has returned now that she's been released. She says that association led Iranians to question her for months. She says she was not abused, but she was interrogated up to 8 hours per day about her activities.
I'm disappointed in Iran. I'm not angry at it. I'm angry because I wasted 8 months of my life. And when you are 67 years old, 8 months is a long time. I was very much disappointed that they misunderstood what I did at the Wilson Center. That bothered me.
Which
really.
Was, in your view?
Which was, you know, they thought by organizing conferences abroad or by arranging workshops for women NGOs, especially the United States and other government want to empower these groups and thus create a regime change.
You're saying you were not orchestrating a revolution in any way against Iran.
Absolutely not.
But I guess what I'm asking is this a government that's so fragile that maybe it can't take a full debate in the kind of the sort that you would want?
That was my question to them. I put this question. I said, you are a strong government. You are a government with so much power and authority in the region. I mean, why can't you tolerate workshops for women? Why can't you accept an exchange of scholars, you know, or why can't your university professors go abroad and take part in a conference? They would give them a whole lecture which would say, well, that's how it started in the Soviet Union, that's how it started in Georgia, that's how it started in the Ukraine, and so on. And, you know, there was no way I could argue with them because I didn't know anything about Georgia or the Ukraine, really.
Your interrogators would actually say, we don't want to have the same fate as the Soviet
sure.
Union.
They didn't say the Soviet Union, but they said the United
Georgia,
States
Ukraine.
Aims to... a change of regime in Iran, just like they through the Velvet Revolution, like they did in Georgia and in the Ukraine. And they thoroughly believed it. I mean, this was their belief that by empowering women's group, by pinpointing or focusing on a number of university professors who are, you know, the cream of the university professors, you create a network of like-minded people and therefore undermine the regime. They did believe that.
What was your cell like?
It wasn't a cell, you know. It was a room the size of maybe this room.
We're in an office here, a normal-sized
office?
Yeah,
you are in my office,
big enough for a desk and a table?
Yeah, yeah. And the first day, I asked for a desk. I said, there is no way I can sit on the floor. So they provided me with... type of desk that you see in elementary schools or even in universities, you know, which has a folding table. So I got that one, which was very good. I could sit there and write, or I could sit and read there and eat at the. And then I had, the first night, I had one blanket to sleep on. And I said, there is no way I can sleep on one blanket. Although I was weighing more than I do now, 20 pounds more, but I still am too a bony person. So they gave me 6 blankets, and I used to sleep on it at night. And during the day when I was exercising it, I was using it as step. And since I'm quite familiar with going to the gym and going to step classes, I would step up on these blankets. And I used one blanket as a bookshelf and one blanket to fold my clothes. And so I had 8 blankets. And at some stage, they brought a TV for me. It must have been a brand new television because they put the TV on the cardboard box that came in. And my room had 2 doors. you know, two iron doors. And I think originally the room must have been two cells, and they removed the wall between the two cells. So therefore it became one large room.
You might have been getting the VIP treatment.
I don't know. Maybe. I'm just talking about my own experience, because I'm told that a commentator, having heard my description of the room, said that, well, why doesn't she refer to it as Hotel Evin rather than the prison? I said, this is my experience. This is what I saw. And a prison is a prison. A solitary confinement is a horrible thing.
What were you writing when you were sitting at that desk?
I wrote a book, but in my mind. I didn't put anything on paper because I thought I have to show it to them, and then they probably will ask all sorts of explanation. I wrote a biography of my Iranian grandmother, who was a very interesting woman, in my head.
Were you then trying to memorize what you had?
Sure.
Do you have it in your head now?
I do, but I'm waiting for an opportunity. The first sentence is, I was sitting in my office, the phone rang, and my grandmother's cook said, come immediately, your grandmother is not feeling well. And telling me she's not feeling well meant that she has passed away. Because in Iran, you never tell anybody somebody has passed away. So that was my first sentence. I took it from there and went back to her life.
This was a way for you to transport yourself outside the cell?
Exactly. I didn't want to think about my husband. I didn't want to think about my daughter, my grandchildren, because that would lead me to despair. So I decided I'm going to think about someone who is no longer with me, but was very dear to me, and that was my grandmother.
Hala Esfandiari is the director of the Middle East Program at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars. Iranian authorities now hold the deed to her 93-year-old mother's apartment in Tehran. That is her bail. But Esfandiari says she does not expect to face formal charges. In that interview, we asked Hala Esfandiari what it would take for the United States and Iran to talk with each other. And you can hear her answer at npr.org.